Dirt roads to rock crawling, Tuba Chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 143. I can breathe. We're back at the home studio, Chris.
Home studio.
After KOH 2022.
This isn't the Taj Mahal.
It is. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's not your camper. It's not. We're not in the pits. Man, what a show.
Oh, my God.
Really big shoe.
Really big shoe. Fucking Boone Road.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, we got lucky we got out of Boone Road before it turned into a full-on chaotic circus.
If listeners, if hopefully you were following, some of the stuff was posted on the IG and some was on Facebook, but man, I heard that if you didn't leave on Sunday morning before 5 a.m. or before 6 a.m., you were screwed.
Yeah, before 6. We left at 5 and we got out. We got out right away. I mean, there was traffic, but it was all moving.
It was moving, yeah.
And then I got a call from a buddy that said, hey, you know, they were staying until Tuesday. And he goes, hey, Jack, where are you guys? And I'm like, We're booking to Tehachapi's right now, man. And he goes, oh, good, because he says it's taken 4 hours for people to get off the road, Boone Road.
To go from Four Corners down by the firewood.
Can you imagine four more hours added to your drive, especially if you're driving to Kansas or Texas?
Well,
or...
I think they stop someplace in between.
Well, no, but seriously, though, I mean, that's just 4 hours a long time on a
four
road trip.
4 hours of your life gone. You
just
can't
sitting
get back.
On Boone Road.
Frickin' Boone Road.
F that. So, anyways, it you know, I'm that's glad to be home.
Yeah, that's the negative side. It was an epic trip.
It was epic, and that's what I was going to say. I'm glad to be home, but my best year at the Hammers, hands down. Every year's great, but it just I don't know what it was. You know, everywhere we turned, it was like something exciting going on. We knew somebody. We, you know, these conversations. Oh, yeah. The wheeling was awesome. Weather was great, minus Wednesday, windy Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Saturday, that first Saturday was a little chilly. And
I don't mind the cold. I mean, waking up and it was 20 degrees outside and the water bottle on my camper bumper was frozen. I'm like, yeah, that's cold. And I like the cold, man. I'm okay with that. You know, got my heated jacket and thermals and
bed and
yeah, my heated bed. That is so good. I turned that on at night. I kind of felt bad for Ray. You know, he's sleeping on the couch and I'd crawl into bed, go, oh, it's so nice.
Have you ever tried a spoon with you or anything?
No. Not allowed. I put the curtain up. No. No, it was good. So anyways, Chris, we had the stars aligned and it was fortunate. We got to hang out with the Wicks again.
Yes, we did.
Wicks Family Racing. We got to go into their pit.
Yeah, people keep inviting us into their pits.
I know why. And it was super cool. They were preparing final, you know, packing their tool bags
for
two cars. So they were doubling up on the whole. You know, I mean, they're both similar cars. Bomber chassis that are badass.
Definitely different engines.
Though. Yeah, different engines, which you'll hear here in the later part of the podcast. But, you know, and just that, you know, pre-race, last-minute checklist, getting things mentally preparing. And so it was cool to sit down with you know, Eric and Chris and Justin,
right?
And here, you know, hours before the race, where their head was at and where they were at with a hashtag KRH prep, and
I just want to piss off Kevin.
Yeah, I know. But it was cool. So we sat down with them, and that was our first interview, first part of this interview here. And then the second half, we circled back with Eric.
Eric.
Who finished 11th. Unfortunately, Justin and Chris had some mechanical issues. And, you know, that's just KOH. They were running great, but had some alternator charging issues,
right.
And was like 9 volts in the rocks, and they canned it. And it sucks. It really sucks. But that's KOH.
That's racing.
It's the
man.
Hardest one day off-road race in the world. So, anyways, I don't know. Without further ado, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff here. The camaraderie amongst the family and just their passion and love for the sport here it definitely comes through.
Let's roll it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we are here on the lake bed, KOH 2022, in the pits with the Wicks. How about that, Chris?
I like it.
So we've got Justin here and Eric. And you guys, we're just hours away from race, the 4400 race. You guys have been banging and clanging all week out here in the lake bed. Let's get an update of where you're at and what's going on and some plans for tomorrow's race.
We've been out here since, I think we came down on, we left Truckee on Wednesday. Been out here doing some pre-running. Now we're qualifying's in the books. Going through the, you know, less than 24 hours before we take off. I'm not going to lie that I get jitters. I get emotional.
You do. Okay, so you do get nervous.
Yeah.
I'm nervous for you guys.
I get quiet. Yeah.
I get it. I would be the same way.
Yeah, but
now, Justin gets more talkative.
Yeah, well, anyways, we got a new shock package on the car, and it's King got us really dialed in this year. I'm feeling really good about it. I felt like the hard part was over with. I always get super nervous for qualifying, but now I got to try and beat my uncle off the line. We're starting side by side.
Oh,
so
how exciting is that?
That's super nervous cool. Again.
And yeah, I'm excited for that. That'll be fun.
That's going to be so freaking cool. So you say new shock package. So what, I mean, because when I rode in the car back in August, it felt really good to me, but obviously I'm not a race car driver. So what changes or what was the difference, the big change for you?
So the biggest changes with the shocks is just a more updated version of what we had. Bigger reservoirs with fin coolers, more tubes in different locations. Feels way more stable than the previous setup. And it floats across the whoops. We can comfortably get going 75-80 through the whoops right now.
And what were you before through the whoops, would you say?
Before, we were about
75-80,
but not comfortable.
Yeah. We were about 60-65 comfortably,
okay.
And 75-80 was kind of scary.
Yeah.
Wow.
But now, so it just soaks it up. Whoop eater. All right, so what else going on here? Kind of walk us through this, you know, hours before the last changes, adjustments, fueling up cars, and then your routine when you get up tomorrow morning before you put that helmet on and pull up to the start line.
Yeah, it's always hard to sleep, but yeah, get up, get the catheter on, get the race suit on. You know, but yeah, like you said, right now we're buttoning up tool bags, we're buttoning up anything that's going to be on the car for spare parts. We don't carry much. We like to keep the cars pretty light, and you know, we carry a few little breakdown things if you need to MacGyver something.
Okay.
We've always had pretty good luck with always having the right tools on. Knock on wood.
Good.
But yeah, we like to keep these cars light and fast. So.
Keep it simple, right?
Yeah,
keep it simple.
So, I'm kind of, we walked into your pit just a bit ago, and I was actually surprised at the number of people that were milling around or hanging around. So, all your families are here right now for full support, spouses and so forth, significant others, and I guess extended families and friends and whatnot.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky to have a group of guys that show up every year and take time out of their schedules, vacation, you know, some with their families, some away from their families, obviously. But to come out here and volunteer their time, you know, we try to take care of them the best we can, feed them, you know, and make sure they're having fun, make sure they're involved. And a lot of times that's all they want. They just want to be involved with a race team. They want to learn. They want to see how things are getting done. But we've been really lucky to have the crew that we have consistently showing up and helping in any way they can, and new guys coming in too every year as well. So, I think, you know, for that we're blessed, because it is one of the bigger stresses as you're heading into a race, trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to get through this? Where are we going to put certain people? Who are we going to have? How many bodies? Are we going to need to team up with other teams, or can we handle this on our own? And, you know, between the guys that we have, I think we'll be able to cover some pits, but we also team up with the Rufus crew as well. Yeah, and they come down here pretty strong with a lot of guys. And so we'll be pitting with them and pitting, camping, partying, all that with them. And yeah, we're very grateful for all their support as well.
Right on.
It's a passion. Everybody's just in whatever part of it, even in, you know, not being in the driver's seat and people being able to help you out. I mean, it's just, there's all different aspects of this racing sport and this week being involved, just to say that you're involved, you know, as people really that are true race fans love that stuff.
You have anything to add on, Justin?
Well, Eric was talking about family being here and friends, and my mom and my sisters, they couldn't make it this year. I'm super bummed about that. It's my first year racing KOH. It would have been really cool to have them here, but I do have three of my really good friends here, Jake, Cole, and Dayton.
Okay.
I met Cole in college when we were going to University of Reno, Nevada.
Uh-huh.
And we both got into Toyota rock crawling, and we hang out all the time, and met his brother here on the lake bed last year, and uh-huh. got to be pretty good friends with him. And my buddy Dayton, he's stationed on the Marine base about an hour from here. So
29 Palms over there.
Yep.
So he gives you a free pass to drive across the base. Don't shoot at us.
He's pretty stoked to be out here. He took leave to come help us out. And
cool.
Yeah, it's been a fun time.
So did we determine, are you the youngest 4400 driver tomorrow?
I am not going to say that for sure, but I believe I am the youngest 4400 driver.
Yeah.
Are you 20 now or still 19?
I'm 19. I turned 20 in July.
Oh, my God. This is so awesome.
This is freaking great.
And your co-dog is going to be your father, right?
Yep. He's going to be my dad's co-driving for me. So in qualifying, it was a blast having him in there. He was rooting and hollering, and yeah, it was a good time.
Harder, softer, softer. Take it easy, preserve the car. No, pedal to the metal. You know? Do you need to say stuff like that, or is he pretty organic that way?
He's pretty good, but I think he was pretty nervous before, so me in there helped him, and I was nervous because I've never really ridden with him going all out.
Uh-huh.
And, man, it was probably one of the funnest things I've ever done. I mean, it was like tingling through my whole body.
Really? Yeah, so
it
proud.
Was,
that's
it was a
cool.
Blast. I mean, just the adrenaline you get when.
How nervous are you tomorrow? I would think. Well, here's what I'm going to say. I would think that you're obviously nervous racing and stuff, but not. You got to be more proud. That's got to take over more, I would think, as a father going through this race. You're probably really just super stoked for
extremely
tomorrow.
Extremely proud.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about the car holding together. That's where I'm...
Okay, that's where your nerves are.
I'm not nervous about him. I'm nervous about holding him back.
Right.
You know, I think I'm going to have to pull him back in, or maybe not. Maybe he's going to, you know, realize. But when we're talking around, he's like, oh, no, we're going to go 85-90. And I'm like, no, we're... We got to, you know, we're going to
ease back a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you'll become kind of zen mode. You'll be one with the car, if you will, and you'll kind of, that's what I've heard. I mean, like, I used to run a lot, and I hit it once where you hit that zone where you can just keep on running, and they call it, I don't know what they call that, but
the runner's,
runner's high.
Yeah.
And I got to imagine there's the same type of situation that occurs when you're in a race car and you're just dialed in between you and the car are communicating well. And so I don't know if that happens, if that's a thing.
It does happen. And back to being proud of him, I was also really proud of my younger brother, Eric. I think Justin started before in qualifying, and Justin threw down a really good time.
Justin threw down an amazing time, and I was shaking my head. I was like, what is this kid doing?
Yeah, and so Eric,
just gonna
Justin
it.
Brought that out. Like, Eric really stepped it up. I think if it was the other way around, I don't think Eric would have been close to running the time he ran.
Wow.
But I think with Justin going in front, Eric stepped it up to a different level, which was really cool to see him do. You know, and it was really cool to see him inspired by his nephew.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Seeing, like, this kid's doing this, I'm going to do it. You know?
Yeah.
And for them both to be, I mean, I think last year we were probably below 50. I think we were in the 50 to 100 range qualifying. Like, we weren't even up to the midway, and now we're in the upper third
awesome.
Of qualifying. I mean, they were 27th and 28th. I mean, we're in front of some big names.
Sure.
Which, that's got me nervous, too, because we got some big names behind us, you know, that are...
Hey, but with the way this course is set up this year and hitting Turkey Claw early, that's just a plug. And that's going to really be a huge advantage getting through Turkey Claw and out in that desert, right?
That's what I'm looking at, Turkey Claw. I want to get through Turkey Claw. And I feel like after that, you know, we'll find that zone. We'll find that, you know, relax, get through that first lap. But leaving the line, obviously leaving the line with Justin, you know, let's go back to that qualifying. When he left, I was proud of him.
Yeah.
I get choked up with this kid. He you know, I love him to death. But seeing him go out there and throw down that sure. fast lap, and then in my head I'm saying, you know what, Chris and I have been around for a while too. There's yeah. still something left in the tank
sure.
with us too.
Yeah,
we gotta show the young kid that it's not we're not just gonna lay down and let him go. So I did want to go out. I did want to catch him. I wanted to leave around him because I want to go wheeling with this kid all day on Saturday.
Right,
and
sure.
I think that he's gonna set a pace, and I'm gonna try to stay right there with him, and hopefully we can get through that first lap and get into the rocks, and then it's trail wheeling. And Justin and I, we love to trail wheel together, and we're gonna make it a lot of fun. And like we always say, we're just out here creating more memories. And this is leaving the line with him. Leaving the line with my brother 2 years ago was something that I would have never imagined was possible. And 2 years later, being, you know, within a second of each other at qualifying,
oh, yeah.
and getting to leave the line with Justin now, it's like, how do you even write that? You know, it's pretty rad. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be absolutely epic if you guys are like just back and forth all day tomorrow. I mean, close and in the rocks together tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna roost together. His ass first though.
This could be a repeat of the Shannon and Waylon story right here. I mean, not father son, but you know,
definitely family,
uncle nephew. You know, it's be pretty badass. So looking forward to you guys racing tomorrow. Can't wait.
It's I mean, I'm nervous just out being out on that start line watching you guys take off, but it's good to hear that you guys feel, you know, are so stoked and excited, and like you say, the pairing off the line, that's going to be phenomenal.
Absolutely.
What?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
All right. So I was going to say, while we're sitting here recording in your pit, the finisher, EMC race has been ongoing, and we've already got a finish. It sounds
Dan
like they
Fresh.
Can, yeah,
another
Dan
bomber.
Sounds
yeah,
right.
Another bomber car.
Bomber. That's 2 years in a row for
yeah,
the bomber.
Right.
Maybe I don't know who won 3 years ago, but 2 years in a row in that class. So
It sounds like it's confirmed. That's one of the things that was being announced as we were walking over here. But 5.5 hours.
I saw them. I think it was like 11 o'clock. They were in one of the rock trails, and it was like, man, they're going to finish early this year. So yeah. Good for Dan. That's a good pace. So,
well, I mean, it is a good pace, and you said it's a bomber car, but it's obviously it's a Legends class car, so it's got a different shock package. I don't know what his powertrain looks like on it, but obviously a 4400 car has a much more significant shock package on it. So I'm sitting here. I know there's some bypasses that the 4800
yes.
class cars take that you guys will not be allowed to do, but I'm thinking it's gonna be a quick race tomorrow. I'd hate to curse it, but my God, 5.5 hours.
I had that same thought today watching. I said, you know, if because I think really we just have one more lap than them, maybe a few other rock trails, and but yeah, one more lap than them, and if they're finishing at this time of day, then yeah, we're not going to be too far behind them.
Right.
Go
ahead.
Did you guys get a chance to check out that King's Veto and those ledges and stuff?
We have looked at it multiple times, and every time we go up there, it changes.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just one of those trails where we're going to tackle it when we get to it. It's really not as bad as everybody makes it sound. I've watched multiple people drive down it and made it look very easy.
Okay. And
there you go.
Well, there it is.
I don't know. It scared me. Looking at it.
So how much pre-running have you guys done? I know you've been here for a little over a week, or you got here last week ago Wednesday. So have you been, I mean, other than working on the cars, you've been out there hitting the trails quite a bit, I imagine.
I pre-ran majority of the course on my dirt bike, and we've done quite a bit in the bomber too, mainly just shock tuning and taking it around through the desert. We've only done about 10 miles of the actual race course in the bomber.
Okay.
But yeah, majority was on the bike.
He's taking his bike through these rock trails.
I know that. I was just going to say, I mean, it's one thing to do the desert lap and the bike, but man, what bike do you have? What are you riding?
It's just a Yamaha 250 four stroke. So
it is
definitely not meant for it, but
it's a thumper.
It gets the job done.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That, I can't believe we're running rock trails on that. But we did see one guy when we were out pre-running out on Wrecking Ball, and there was a guy going up in a bike. I'm like, all right, you got mad skills.
A guy came through Turkey Claw on a bike when we were out there. And I was like, "There's no, he's going to lose it. He's going to do it." And then he just held it together. So.
Most of the trails I've been doing on my bike have been the lap three onlys, and I've done Turkey Claw, I've done Aftershock, Masters, Nightmare, Clawhammer. Yeah, there's a couple more that I can't really think of the names right now, but
there's a lot of
what's your favorite? Is there a favorite trail or a favorite area of this race that you just stoked about, or is it? I mean, what is there something that you get in? There's such and such trails coming up, or section.
That's a hard one. I really like the area from Wrecking Ball up to Full of Hate.
Yeah,
that's a fun section through there.
Yeah, I did that this year for the first time, and that is a beautiful, cool area. What about you, Chris?
Eric.
I'm sorry, Eric.
It's all right. You know what? I like all the rock trails here. I think, you know, the first portion of the course, the desert lap, you know, get that behind us. And then once we get into lap two and three, I'm not picky on the rock trails. You know, just stay focused, get through them, and be fast. This year, they're going to be able to track who's fastest through the trails. They're going to be able to tell, you know, every trail. They have the new race tracks. Is that what it's called?
Racing tracks.
And so they're going to be able to break down, you know, some statistics to find out, you know, how you do on the rock trails. And so, you know, that's something I wanted. I want to do good on the rock trails. I want to go fast. I want to, you know, I want to see where I stand up against everybody else on the rock trails. You know, some of those guys are going to kill it in the desert, and we're gonna hold it together and go fast. You know, these bombers do good in the desert, and but I think once we get to the rock trails, that's where we're really gonna push it, and that's where I start having a lot of fun.
That's what you look forward to.
Yep.
That's freaking awesome.
So that horsepower rolling by.
Yeah.
We are literally in the pits the day before the 4400 race, and we've got all sorts of stuff going on around us. So. Forgive us with the noise, but this is so cool.
But that's what makes it authentic.
Authentic.
Yeah, we're kind of in Bomberville, too, here. We got the Light Bright crew right across from us.
Right.
And then we have Randy right across, right next to them.
You're
and
right.
Our two bombers here and trail bombers. And, yeah, it's this is a good spot. We've been here for 2 years now in this same pit up in Hammertown Heights. And it's nice. I mean, if you need anything, it's here.
So. Yeah, I like it, too, that you're out of the Hammertown minutia right there as far as the, you know, chaos. We'll just call it chaos, where this is a little bit more controlled up here and nice.
Well,
HOA fees are a little more, but it's a nice neighborhood.
Well, I mean, yeah, not quite as high as our HOA fees, but, you know. But you also have your camp a couple hundred yards away where your lodging arrangements are squared away.
Yeah, a couple years ago, we camped, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago now. We camped with the race car, and we ended up just working on it all the time. And so now not camping with the cars, it gives us an opportunity to just step away from the cars and get back to camp and, you know, let our shoulders down a little bit.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah,
I mean, this is like your shop garage. Close up the tent at night, and you can go back and relax and hang out with all the
yeah, don't
crew.
Don't tell anybody that, though. There is people camping here.
Oh, yeah.
So while we're talking about your lodging arrangements and your camp and all the family support that's going on here for all three of you, and of course you have a co-dog somewhere around here.
Yeah, Kevin Simpson's gonna ride passenger with me, and it'll be Kevin's first time at King of the Hammers. He did do a Vora race with Justin this last summer, and That's where he got his feet wet in the passenger seat. But Kevin's an extremely good rock crawler, a very knowledgeable guy who brings a lot to the table on that right seat. Cool. And it's something, you know, we're going to go out and have a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah, and anything that happens, I know, you know, between his experience and my experience, we're gonna get through it.
Excellent.
And you guys are all on the same comms?
We do share the same radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We try to. I don't think either of our teams really talk too much on the radio.
Yeah, tomorrow will be kind of...
Justin's going to be talking some smack. Yeah.
Okay, some be smack talking.
That all you got, old man? You boys like Mexico? So let's talk a little bit about the... I mean, what are you going to do tonight to settle down, kind of... You're going to have a nice dinner, sit with the family, swap stories, sit around the campfire. How's tonight going to go for all of you?
Tonight, first off, all day today, I'm just going to be hydrating. And come tonight, I'll just hang out by the fire, relax, go to bed relatively early, hope to be in bed.
9 o'clock?
Last night we were out wheeling till 2, 3 a.m., so we won't be doing that again. But...
Wow.
Probably be in bed by 8:39.
Okay.
But we'll start breaking down, you know, tires and gas jugs and start setting things aside. What's going to pit one? What's going to pit two? So that's why you came in and you saw us getting after it early today.
Yeah,
we got through contingency. We wanted to get that out of the way quick so that we can focus on getting our pit squared away, doing pit assignments, making sure we have everything we need going to where it needs to be. And get that wrapped up at a somewhat decent hour. And then, some of the wives that came down are cooking dinner tonight. We'll have a pasta dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And, nice. Hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we get to bed early. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. I think both of our cars right now are in really good shape. Knock on wood, there's not any big projects that need to be completed. And right now, we're like I said, we're just buttoning things up and getting ready.
Just one drive shaft, and that's easy peasy. Put the panels back on your car, finish packing it.
Yeah, take the panels off, put all the tool bags on. We like I said, we keep them pretty light, but that's we're kind of in the finishing stages right now of putting that back together. And... I mean, we probably got another maybe an hour or two in here to get everything all squared away. And then, Kevin and I'll go huddle around the tool bag and make sure we have everything, think about things we don't, and just wrap it up.
So you said minimal spare parts. What's some of the spare parts you carry? Good.
In the...
Yeah, belt.
719.
A belt.
we carry a spare belt, alternator... And that's about it.
Yeah, I don't even carry an alternator.
Okay.
Just
and that's all the tools right there.
This is all we carry. Wow.
So Chris just brought over the tool bag, which is...
That's a hammer.
About a foot.
I see another hammer. Wow, the four hammers.
Oh, I love this. This is great. You got it. It's baling wire. There's definitely... So you got baling wire, a big-ass combo wrench, a breaker bar, screwdrivers... You got all your combo wrenches, sockets. What the biggest socket there? It looks like it's an inch or something.
Hey guys, I want to tell you guys a story.
This is great. I actually want to get a photo of this.
We don't carry a lot of stuff, but I think it was King of the Hammers 3 years ago. It was the first time in the bomber, and we ripped the rear link out of the chassis. And you would think your day is done, but. You know, you break out your tool bag and you break out everything on the car and you set it in front of you and you look at it and you try to figure out what you can use. And this is when I had my brother in my co-driver seat, and watching the way he assessed the situation and the fix that he was able to put together with a link that was ripped out of the chassis, and using straps, a crescent wrench, the size of the big one, he wrapped the strap around that around the link to the chassis, put that crescent wrench through there, turned it like a tourniquet to get that thing as tight as he could, zip tied it, and it held together for another 30 miles. Of course, our top speed was only about 15 miles an hour, but we looked at
35
after that. But it was like, man, we can sit out here all day until 10 o'clock and they close it, or we can keep working and we can put this car back together and get it moving. And yeah, we timed out, but when we timed out, we were at a spot that was really easy to recover the car.
Sure.
And so, you know, we could have just sat, you know, 40 miles from anything. And instead we were able to be resourceful with what's on the car and get it put back together and get it to a spot where, like I said, it could be recovered easily.
But you see some of these guys and they got all these tools and parts. Sure. And this is what you need for this car. I mean, you don't use any other sockets than
right.
There's five or six sockets. Yep. That's it. It's all, everything's pretty standard. Yeah. You know, and this isn't a whole set of, you know, it's just.
No, it's not even a full set of combo wrenches.
The metric ones, we just have a couple little metric, you know, okay. Two metric ones, the ones we know we need, and that's it.
Wow. And the BFH, it's a mallet, small mallet, and channel locks.
I don't even need that, but I'm going to need to.
Well, you never know. Yeah, there you go. Keep moving along.
This is a hammer.
This is redundant. We don't really need
that's
that.
That's a hammer. That's a hammer. Yeah. They're all hammers.
Hammer.
But you don't need much to work on these cars.
Right. And that's
really
that
simple.
Exactly. And you know, it's cool looking at the bomber cars, and it is super simplistic. What it's there is purpose, and there's no fluff.
Right. And when we're prepping it, I think last year, Justin and I just did a list, you know, like when we went through and prepped it, I took whatever tool I used and I set it aside.
Oh, that's smart.
Mm-hmm. You know, on the table and said, okay, that's what we need in our tool bags. And that was really all that was there.
Jeez.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I love it.
I think I carry more tools than this in my Jeep.
There's no duct tape though.
Uh-oh. There is duct tape.
Okay. Wait a minute. Where's the duct tape?
There's also some stuff better.
Yeah, zip ties. You got stuff strapped to the car, too, right?
You start shoving things into nooks and crannies. And
so what about zip tied on there?
Okay, it goes right there. See? Oh, it fits perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So, they attach it to the chassis. And then lug nuts. I see a lot of cars that have lug nuts tie wrapped to the car. Is that... is it so when you're doing a tire change, if you lose one in the dirt or something? Or?
Exactly. Yeah. I keep three of them on my car.
Okay.
They've been there. They've never been used, but we also run pretty solid tires. So knock on wood, I hate to say this, I've never changed a tire in a race.
Oh, boy.
A long time. I'll just say a long time, but never.
I see high lift jacks you have on there as well, both cars. So those come in super handy.
Yeah.
Of course, you got your fire extinguishers and all that, but yeah.
The one year, Eric, you didn't have in high lift. You had it was like a hydraulic.
Yeah.
The ARB?
I don't know who made it.
Yeah.
And the thing just failed. I mean, we were trying to jack it up. It was leaking oil. And
right.
We just kind of said, you know what? Like, you can't go wrong with the high lift.
It goes with the theme, heavier, simplicity.
You can't go wrong, absolutely.
It works.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you mentioned the duct tape. I actually had to do a repair on my trailer on the drive down to King of the Hammers. So I had to do a trail repair. Well, freeway trail repair.
Right.
So I used my trailer light broke off the trailer and was dangling. So I pulled over and I got my duct tape out of the camper and I wrapped the duct tape around the trailer.
There you go.
Tail light. It's still holding.
200 mile an hour tape. Well, and then a lot of that ingenuity, like you were talking about, where you're taking the combo wrench there, the adjustable wrench, and using it to get some leverage on a strap. I mean, those are things that you learn from wreck wheeling and out on the trail and keeping everything moving forward. So, I mean, that seat time and trail time is invaluable, I got to imagine, leading up to, well, you guys taking it to the next level to racing. So even being out at 2 a.m, Justin, you know, you're learning some things out there, right?
Yeah, I've broken a couple times this week in my Toyota, and that's the main reason for the 2 a.m. night run.
Sure. But
yeah, just breaking tie rods and breaking other, mainly just tie rods, a lot of tie rods.
Doing Toyota things.
Yep.
There you go.
I'm putting more raisin marks on it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My B-pillar is smoked right now after Jack North last night.
Were there a lot of people on trail or just kind of your group?
No, it was just... It was me, my buddy Jake that I mentioned earlier, and he broke early, so he headed back. And then Lance, another guy helping us out in the pits, he was driving a buggy.
Uh-huh.
So it ended up just being me and Lance in the buggy, and we just cruised along.
Cool.
This is going to be like paradise out here. You get to wheel, wreck wheel for fun, and then...
Dirt bike.
And then race.
Race in the 44. Just race in the 4400
just
class.
Just another day in, just you know? Another day in
life. Best time of the year.
To his uncle. I mean, you know.
Awesome.
Well, I see new tires are on the cars, and you guys are getting close. So anything else you want to say? Shout-outs to anybody?
Shout-out to you guys. We see you guys in some pretty cool places. You know, we got Fordyce last time, and now now we're out here at Johnson Valley, and it's always good to see you guys. And thanks for having us on the show. Thanks to everybody that's down here. I know I'll probably forget people, but, the Reagans, Bug and Lindsay and Thomas came down to help. We got Ozzy. Justin is here as well. He's working on, I think, his second year out here helping us. He's always a huge help. Jen Simpson for letting Kevin come down and letting me take him away, and do all that pre-running that we needed to do and working on the car and dialing it in. And obviously Chelsea, my wife, she's a huge support here too. Couldn't do it without any of them. Greg Johnson, he's been a huge help for years coming down here with us. Just a good resource to have right there. So, I said, I know I'm going to forget a lot of people, but we just appreciate everybody who comes down with us and helps out. And I know Justin probably has a few more people to thank. So I'll turn it over to him too.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you guys again for having us on, and thank my dad for making all this possible, and my mom, my sisters. They can't be here, but they're always supporting me. Kevin, Ozzy, Lance, Greg, my buddies Jake and Cole, Dayton. And Bora Off-Road, they're
there
huge.
Yep.
And High Desert Surface Prep.
Perfect.
There you go. And it's it goes both ways, guys. It's super cool hanging out with you guys. You come into camp a couple nights. It's cool to hang out and have fun. And that's what's so cool about this event in particular, where everybody's on the lake bed for like a week plus, and you do have that downtime to go wreck wheeling or go hang out with your friends and stuff. And we freaking love it.
Absolutely.
Wish you guys the best of luck tomorrow. And I can't wait. I'll be there at the starting line, cheering you on. And I will be there. I was just going to say, we'll be there at the finish line at 1:30 when you guys come in. So we'll be drinking early tomorrow, boys. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Not Justin, though. You're not 21 yet.
I've been holding back all week. I've had a few nights in there, but I'll be ready.
Perfect. All right. That sounds good. Right. Well, Chris, what do you think?
Well, I just want to say you guys are always welcome at our campfire.
Yeah,
so.
Anytime.
And that goes both ways, like we said last time.
Wheeling with you guys in the future. We can't do this race car thing, but we can support you through the podcast. So.
Hell yeah.
Right on.
All right, we're out.
All right, Chris, we are here back at the home studio.
I know. It's kind of like, what happened?
Hey, it's not dusty. We got that going for us.
No, it's not dusty.
A real shower.
Yep.
You know, Lorenzo, we're reunited with Lorenzo. That's a whole nother story.
He's feeling better. Yeah.
And so we circle back with one of our friends in the Wicks family racing. Here, Eric Wicks. We have on the phone tonight with us on Skype. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing great, guys.
Right on.
Good evening to you. Yeah.
Hey,
welcome back.
Well, thanks for, I guess you're still in the office at this hour. Everybody's trying to catch up after being on the desert for a few.
You gotta pay to play.
That's right. You gotta pay to play.
can't disappear for 2 weeks and not have a lot of work to backlogged, huh?
Right.
That's it. And, luckily the staff stepped up and they held it down while I was gone. I can't thank them enough. It takes more than just the volunteers out there. So, I'm lucky in that regard to have that going for me.
You know what? That's a good point. Yeah. Cause I'm a small business owner too. And it's like, you leave and you have faith in your crew, but that things could go wrong and you just hope that they make the right decision. And, luckily
came back to peace and quiet and all's well.
I didn't.
Yeah, two weeks in the environment where I live is definitely pushing it. So
right.
But luckily it was all smooth and they stayed on top of things. So
awesome. I'm very, well, that's yeah. That's a testament to your staff. That's awesome.
Right on.
So yeah, we wanted to circle back with you because not only did you finish the 4400 class, crossing the finish line within time, you finished 11th.
Woohoo!
And that's just outstanding. Yeah, there we go. The crowd's going wild. Love it. Look at that. So, we wanted to hear, you know, we interviewed you and your brother Chris and Justin. Unfortunately, they had some mechanical issues, and I guess they were giving you a run for the money at the. You guys started side by side, so let's just pick it up there where you guys on the start line side by side, and
uncle
and,
versus nephew.
Yeah, what was going on through your mind?
Well, yeah, it's you know, there's definitely a different fire burning within our pit and our team right now, and. You know, it started with the selfless act of Chris, you know, giving up the seat to Justin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's definitely pushed me as well. You know, I don't want to just let him run away with it. I think we have a healthy competitive fire within our tent. And he's a talented kid. And for us to leave off the line, you know, that was something that, you know, was a lot of fun. I've left the line with Chris before and, you know, leaving the line with Justin. Justin, you know, we're kind of nudging each other before the race. I think we even talked about it on the podcast. I think I said I was going to roost his ass.
Right.
And right. You know, it, we had never put our cars up against each other like that. And to see, you know, off the line, who's got it. And, there's been some back and forth, you know, Chris runs the LSX block, the 454 iron block. And I run a stroke LS3 425, with a nasty cam in it, mm-hmm. Cam and you know, set of heads and flat top pistons and an intake, and so my car is it's pretty spicy, and so we were able to get Justin off the line you know, for the first two turns, and I was pulling on him, but man, it didn't last long. He flew by me. We were turning up that hill and he's off the course, just flying by me, cuts me off, you know, puts me in the dust. And, you know, from there on out, it's a wall of pure dust all the way over to Turkey Claw. You can't see a thing.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, the co-driver is just reading off the best he can on the tracker. And I don't know at this point if I'm ahead of him or behind him, you know, as we're pulling into Turkey Claw, things kind of clear up, and I can see, okay, he's still in front of me, but he's right there. And we head up Turkey Claw, and, you know, Bailey Campbell's right behind us. And, you know, the sweet petite thing she is, she's got an engine in her car too, that you can hear, you know, I wonder if my car is even running sometimes while we're at the starting line. And, you know, so she's following us up Turkey Claw, and, you know, it was a different experience altogether. You know, we qualified well, we got Tom Ways in front of us. We got John Webb and Bailey Campbell behind us. And Justin and I are looking at each other like, what did we do?
How did we get this mix?
But let's go back to episode 117 when we told you guys that we had bigger goals and aspirations.
That's right.
Right.
I'm glad that that those statements weren't just all talk. So, yeah, it was definitely different for us. And yeah, we got out of Turkey Claw and I put the pass on Justin at the top of Turkey Claw. And then after that, it was he and I just racing through the desert to pit one and, you know, traded spaces a couple different times. But man, that first lap was just miserable. I mean, it was just dust and rough and wondering where you're going and what you're going to hit. And you know, PTSD right now for sure. Why, especially watching some of those other videos that have come up.
JP. Yeah, that was crazy.
I can't tell you, that was going through my mind the whole time we were out there. So it was, you know, to see that it actually happened, it's you know, it's unfortunate, but, man, it is scary. And at that point, we're just thinking, let's get through lap one. And, sure. it was rough. But yeah, you know, I was the first to out of our group to pit one. I think I didn't know it was so dusty, but you know, Bailey passed me right after pit one, and then Bailey passed me, Justin passed me, and then, you know, it was just another wall of dust out to Cougar Buttes, and you know, just kept fighting through dust all day.
Yeah,
and
there was no wind to push it like in, you know, years past.
Absolutely no wind at all.
Yeah.
No wind at all. And some of the most, you know, just silt beds that just the dust just sits there and just lingers. Mm-hmm. So,
well, the desert was extraordinarily dry. I mean, it's always dry, or not always, but it was, I mean, there's just been no precipitation for an extraordinary amount of time. And this drought is continuing, and I'm sure that was impacting the race quite a bit too.
It definitely did. I mean, I had raced in dust before, and you come up on them, and you can find the people in front of you and you can reel them in. But, you know, there are times when you don't even know if you're on the course, and your co-driver is reading the navigation, and all he's doing is following a line and telling you you're on course. And, you know, you just keep that pedal down. But, you know, where you might be able to go, you know, 75, 80, you know, maybe even 90. I mean, there's some spots you're doing 25, 30. And, you know, of course you never want to stop.
No.
As bad as you want to, you know, let it settle. It's not going to. So you just got to keep pushing. And that was by far the worst part of the race for me, was just getting through lap one. And but once we came into Hammertown and into pits the first time, you got to get out of that dust a little bit, and things cleared up from there for the rest of the day.
Oh, good.
How bad were the ruts out there in the desert from the trophy trucks running and everything? I heard they were pretty nasty.
Well, when I was pre-running them in the Razor, I mean, that, you know, those ruts were swallowing up that Razor. I mean, it's on 32 inch tires, and, right, you know, belly scrubbing the whole way, and you know, but the race car, they're bad in areas, but it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was still rough, don't get me wrong. But when I pre-ran it, it seemed like it had straightened out a little bit since then. And maybe the 48s and the 45s and the 4600 class had something to do with that. But yeah, it was still rough, and not being able to see it, and then having things just hit you, you know, it beats you up all day.
Oh, yeah. So you finish the desert lap, and then you come out of, you go back to Maine, right? So you go back to remote pit one, and then Maine,
right? And then Maine from there.
Yep.
And then from Maine back out to Turkey Claw.
Yep.
And then from there it was back out to make your way over to the Real Rock Trails. And that's when you know, once we pulled up into Spooners, we started feeling, you know, pretty good about ourselves, and you know, that's, the rocks are what I consider home for us.
Sure.
And it's our goal every year to get to the rocks, and, you know, our cars excel in the rocks. And, you know, this year was a different type of wheeling, though. We were wheeling with a different crowd. And, that was exciting.
What do you mean? Like the caliber of drivers or cars or both?
And you're out there wheeling, and you've got, you know, Cody Addington and John Webb and, you know, you know, Bailey Campbell, and, you know, in the past, you know, we had seen them in the race, but, you know, we'd never gotten a chance to go up the trails with them.
Got it. Okay.
You know, kind of swap spaces with them. And that was just a different experience for me. And, you know, one that was exciting, and to think, you know, hey, we're at a point in the race where we're,
up with the big dogs.
You know, we're up with the big dogs. Yeah. And it, you know, it says a lot for them, and says a lot for where we were at that time too.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I don't know. I wonder how I'd react there. I'd be like, would I be fanboying out? Like, oh, there's Bailey, and there's,
no, you'd be focused just like Eric was,
exactly.
You know, focused on the journey and focused on the mission. But at the same time, you got to think, what are they thinking? You know, it's like, my God, look at, we got this guy just really giving us a run for our money. And I mean, it's probably mutual admiration going both directions, I got to think.
Yeah, you know, I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, what is Justin thinking? I mean, here's a kid who was six, seven years old, a huge fan of King of the Hammers.
Oh yeah.
Now he's 19, racing with these guys, and you know, that's a pretty cool feeling too, know that he was out there swapping with, you know, there's a picture of him going up a trail and, you know, Tom Ways is leading and he's right on him. It's just like, man, that the feeling for what Justin must have been experiencing at that time is it's pretty cool.
Can't put a price tag on that one.
The next generation's dogging me, man.
Yeah. It's good to see that, that coming full circle for him. I couldn't be more proud for Justin and, we went through lap one and started getting into the rock trails and, you know, up Spooners, down Outer Limits. And then we went out to Melville. And at that point I said, you know, let's see what this thing could do. And I got up to, I pushed the pedal down and wanted to see what that bomber could do. And I stopped at about 116 and she still had more.
I want that 140,
man. That was the fastest I'd ever been in the bomber. Like I said, I think it could have gone a little bit faster, but that was my high speed for the day.
Now, is your co-dog Kevin, is he like egging you on, like, hey, we got more, or is he like, hey, throttle back, man?
No, he was calling out speeds, and so he was, you know, he's 80, 85. Okay, that's 90, 100. And as soon as we hit 100, I think it was like between 100 and 110, he was like, woo! He started seeing that you know, the car we were in was something special that day.
How'd the car feel at a buck 16?
Like, oh man, it you know, that Melville out there, it's smooth as butter. And I mean, we were going and, you know, I found fourth gear, which we typically don't use fourth gear in that car. Uh-huh. But we found fourth gear and, you know, I think it could have gone, I think we had a little bit more, you know, but I was comfortable at that spot. You still have a race to finish.
Right. Yes. Right. You have a lot of miles.
That's freaking fast. I don't care what you're in, whether it's a Formula One car or a freaking bomber going across the smooth desert. But, I remember asking you after the race if you guys are in four high at that point or if you're in two high, and you said you're in four high.
It's four high all day. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole
four
time.
High, four low.
Which makes sense, because if you got to, you know, get on the throttle to help pull the car straight again, you got that front wheel tires there pulling. So, but I know some people said they run in too high out there, and I'm like, oof, that's scary.
Well, maybe on Melville, but on some of the other roads, you know, the transfer case slipped out of four high at one point, and man, the ass end just wants to pass. And when you're not expecting that, it can creep up on you. But yeah, you realize it right away. Put this thing in four wheel, and you get a lot more control.
Well, and then you had a Bluetooth shifter handle at the end of the race too. I understand. I mean, your brother picked that up, Chris, and goes, what the hell happened here?
Yeah, we could talk about that too.
Okay.
So we finished up lap one, and we at that point we kind of knew we were having a good day. You know, I pull into the main pits, and the only thing we had at that time, we had a leaky axle seal. Mm-hmm. So you know, every time we pulled in the pits, they're dumping a gallon of 250 weight in there, and you know, then we also had a window net issue where we lost the bolt out of our window net, and Kevin had to sit there and hold it for half the second lap. So we got into the pits, they fixed that, gave us our diff fluid, topped us off on gas, and we left for lap three, and I'm looking in the sky thinking that the sun is still pretty high. Mm-hmm. And that's when you don't want to jinx it, but you start feeling like, man, we're having a good day. And and there's a good chance that we could get that daylight finish that we've been going for.
Oh, absolutely.
We push on from there, and lap three was fun. We passed Justin, and I pulled over to see if they were okay and just to check on them. And you know, that you can't help but think about that for the first, you know, sure, you know, 5 to 7 miles after you pass. I'm thinking, you know, I hope they can get it figured out. I hope they can get going again. And, you know, but at the same point, you know, we're still shooting for that daylight finish. So we were onward and, you know, up Spooners again and made a couple passes in Spooners. And, and then got to do the new trail Simon Says, which was fun. I mean, it seemed like nobody had even been through there.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of these trails, you can kind of, as you're going through them, you can see the lines, and, you know, Simon Says, not so much. I mean, it was you had to do it on your own and pick your lines and get up it. And I'd never run that trail before. I didn't pre-run it, but luckily we had no issues with it. I think at one point I was a little offline, and Cody Addington gave me a little bump and helped get me up. And then we took a wrong turn at the top of the trail, and he's following us, and I'm telling my co-driver, I'm like, that guy don't have no navigator. He's using us.
Oh.
And, he told me after the race, he goes, I was following you guys because I don't have a navigator. I figured you knew where you were going.
That's right. He's single seater.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a single seater. So we got turned around and ended up, you know, heading back down to Outer Limits and back out to Melville, and then you know, hit all the rest of the trails. You know, only winched at one spot. I mean, we almost got the Aftershock, and had we gotten that one, Kevin wouldn't have had to get out all day. But he had to get out and winch the waterfall and Aftershock, which was pretty quick. We were pretty close to getting it, so we just needed a little help.
It sounded like Aftershock was the hardest trail, rock trail. Would you agree?
It's just that one, you know, Dave told us we couldn't take the bypass for lap three, and we had to go up the main waterfall, and that main waterfall can be a bitch when you got 23 pounds in your tires.
Sure.
Even when you don't, it could eat you up. Yeah. So, you know, I knew like we just needed to get that one behind us. And I was pretty certain when we pulled up, we were going to have to winch that. And, you know, I wasn't surprised when we did, and we were prepared to get out and get that done. And like I said, it didn't take us too long. I think we were probably stopped there for 5 minutes winching. Okay. You know, luckily we got there, there was no traffic, and pulled ourselves right up and we're off to pit two, stopped at pit two, took our last bit of gas, knowing that, from there it was just get the car home. And, you know, highlights from there, I enjoyed Sledge. Sledge is always a really fun trail.
That is a fun trail. Yeah.
Up Jack, and you know, at that point we were in a zone, and you know, it's I did something different for myself this year. And Chris, you and I kind of talked about it when we were wheeling out in Fordyce, and I told you, I said, you know, I'm going to invest in myself and my own body, you know, more than you know, just as much if not more than I wanted to in my car,
right?
And you know, I joined Berger's gym after KOH 2021. Mm. And you know, I got out of the car at 2021, and I was like 295 pounds. And, you know, I had finished the race, and I just felt like garbage. And, you know, I wasn't happy with where I was at. And, I knew I needed to make a change. And lap three is really where, you know, that change came through. And you realize all that hard work of committing yourself and investing in yourself was starting to pay off. And you kind of check yourself, you know, the same way you would in a workout that Berger's putting us through. You know, you're 2/3 of the way through that workout, and you know, you just gotta kind of keep grinding, and it's going to be over soon enough. And the focus was different than it was in previous years. And I have to think that was the dedication to Dreamtown Fitness and the help of all the coaches there and inspiration of all the other athletes. It was awesome. And I'm glad that I put myself through that this year. I think it made huge differences.
Well, we've always said that, I mean, physical endurance of the human body, you know, is important, but because you also have to be, you're in tune with the car, you're in the car's beating you up. And, you know, the car is taking a lot of abuse, but it's also transmitting a lot of that abuse to you. So having your body, your physical body, human body in better condition, obviously is going to allow you to get through the race better.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. And I think it's a mental and physical thing. You know, don't get me wrong. I was still sore after the race. I still have bruises. I still beat up. But there's no doubt about it that was a huge part of how I was feeling at this time of the day.
I didn't know or even think about that aspect of the race until a few years ago. Mm-hmm.
when a couple of our buddies were racing and they're going, you know, to their local gym and CrossFit and, you know, working out, you know, 4 days a week minimum, running, cycling, whatever it was. And it made total sense to me because, you know, it's a 7-8 hour car wreck that you're just enduring. And to have that stamina and your body strong enough, because, you know, people think, oh, you're just riding in a race car, no big deal, you're strapped in. Bullshit. Yeah. And then I loved how you pointed out the mental aspect, because, yeah, when you're, you know, anybody that's worked out or a runner, you know, whatever, a cyclist, and you're trying to climb this hill, and, you know, it's that mental aspect, focus, getting in that zone and knowing that you can do it and pushing, even though your body is saying, you know, stop, but you're like, no, we can do it. And you hit that runner's high that Chris was talking about. Yep. And that's super cool to hear you say that. And Berger's, Dreamtown CrossFit, right? In Truckee there.
That's it.
Give him a shout out.
To that place this year. And you know, the journey there is just getting started. You know, today was my first day back there after King of the Hammers. Uh-huh. And, you know, Berger was there and greeted me with a big hug and told me how proud he was of me.
That's cool.
I mean, it was cool. And I told him, I said, don't expect much out of me today. I'm just trying to get back into this. And we're going to start a whole nother journey in 2022. You know, I'm still not, you know, where I want to be, you know, physically. But I think 2023, you know, my goal is to work on the diet aspect of that.
Okay.
And see where that can take me. And you know, I can't talk highly enough of Jason Berger and you know, what he's done for me. I mean, I know I'm a paying customer there, but the gains and how I feel physically and what I think he's brought to this and how he's motivated me is also has a lot to do with our improvement this year. So it's something I don't plan on quitting on. I'm going to keep getting after it. And,
that's cool.
It's helping. So, yeah,
that's a unique aspect. And that whole mental game is in any athletic sport you know, you listen to these professional athletes and it's that whole, they got psychiatrists and everything, and that mental game.
Golf coach. I mean, Tiger Woods got a psychiatrist. Of course.
He needs one.
But I mean, the Olympics are going on right now, and that's like one of the biggest, you know, venues of seeing that pushing through adversity and striving for your goals and dreams and whatnot. So awesome. Very, very cool.
That's cool to hear. Yeah. Good. Well, keep on that path, Eric. It's obviously
for
working.
Sure.
That's a great testament. So
for sure. So yeah, then from there it was just, you know, I mean, Dave put some pretty cool trails in there. You know, I mean, getting done with, you know, Chocolate Thunder and, you know, that one's always pretty easy. I think we were in Chocolate Thunder for less than a minute. And,
I'd be there a day.
My daughter said, Dad, I drove all the way out there and you were only there for less than a minute. I barely got to see you. But yeah, then from there up Wrecking Ball down Full of Hate, and then we got to go up Nightmare, and then it was, you know, King's Veto.
Yeah.
And we had walked King's Veto, and King's Veto was kind of getting, you know, a lot of the hype this year of the difficult trail, kind of the King's Graveyard of last year. And I had told Kevin, you know, I had told him previously, I said, you know, I think, you know, depending on what time of the day it is and, you know, see where we're at and how it's going, we'll probably just have you get out of the car and spot me. And so as we're pulling into King's Veto, you know, he asked me, he goes, do you want me to get out? And I said, no, let's see how this goes. And I think we were through King's Veto and, you know, there's a video of us going through there. I don't know if, you know, I don't think we were in there for more than 5 minutes.
Wow.
And, you know, we dropped those few waterfalls. And at that point we started feeling pretty, you know, pretty good. There was still, you know, another hour of daylight left ish. And, but then you start really pushing. I started thinking, you know, I need to get that daylight finish. So we're off to Resolution, drop Resolution, put it into Four Low, drop Resolution. And as we're pulling out of Resolution, you know, Jason, you had mentioned the shifter handle. I'm going back into Four High at the bottom of Resolution. And we had the option of not doing backdoor or taking the exit up the sand hill. And you know, I think everybody probably took the, I'd be interested if anybody did backdoor. I couldn't see that saving much time, but as I was shifting into four high, the shifter, you know, said enough on our last shift. And, I'm holding the Atlas just in my hand as it hit four high. And
did you just hand it to Kevin? So here you go.
I put it back down in the seat, you know, and sat on it. And, but it was, Kevin and I got a chuckle out of it. And from there it was like, man, let's go finish this thing. And we're in four high, and we sent it off last jump and came across the line, and that was that. And yeah, it was a good day. And, you know, to finish 11th was a huge improvement. And, you know, to look back at where we started in 2018, driving the 4800 car, and to get to this point where we've improved every year. And, you know, I think I was excited for a little while on 11th place, but on the drive home, you start going through, you know, where we can pick up speed and how we can get to that next level. And that's just the competitive nature in a lot of us drivers. And, you know, this year I'm going to be focused on, getting faster in the desert. And these cars are capable, and Randy shouldn't be surprised if he sees my trailer in his driveway a lot this year, taking advantage of that short course he's got.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah. Do you think to do the desert, to be faster in the desert, is a different shock package, or you think the shock package is right, just needs a little bit more refining, or where do you think you're going to get that time?
I think it's a little bit of both those things, Chris. I think a lot of it is going to be just getting more seat time in the car. When we pulled up to King of the Hammers, we were towing the car, and the car hadn't even started since San Felipe, which was in, I think, May. And we had a small fire in San Felipe that burned our whole wiring harness and required a lot of maintenance. And you know, we picked up the car and we were from Randy's, and he had built a new set of headers for us and exhaust, because the previous ones were a little too close to the intake, and the car just had never run right. And so pulling up down there was a little nerve wracking with a car that hadn't run since May. But we picked up the headers on the lake bed, installed them the day we got there, and fired up the car. It fired right up, and you know, everything worked flawlessly. That was a little nerve wracking, but it's like, you know, nothing was going right all the way down there. You know, trying to get the RV out of the car, out of the driveway, and all the ice we had to deal with up here, and that huge snowstorm we got. It was just one gut punch after another, and then not being able to start up the car before we get there, but knowing it was all going to turn as soon as we got to the lake bed, and staying positive, and then having that happen felt really good.
Well, so pushing through adversity, man. Pushing through.
And having you know, some validation for all the time and effort that you know, you put into it, and that's super cool.
And you know,
this was also a different year for me. I mean, typically I do all my own prep, and you know, typically it's in my shop, and this year it went down to Randy's to get a set of headers built, and then we got pounded with a record breaking December of 170 inches in 1 week.
Right.
Of snow. And you know, I called Randy, and I told him, I said, Randy, I'm not going to be able to get that car back to my house. There's no way it's going to get up to my driveway. And you know, I think week by week I was bringing him down more and more parts that had to go on that car. So Randy helped us out a lot. Randy and Bomber Fabrication, Adam and Amber over there helped us out a lot with our prep this year. And, you know, big thanks to them.
We saw the car sitting in the shop there when we did the interview with Randy, and I saw the whiteboard with all the to-do list, if you will, you know, and there was only a few things crossed off, and there was a lot of things uncrossed off, and I'm like, man, your car was totally disassembled. But Chris sat in it and was making you know, race car noises.
I
know he was shifting that transfer case, so maybe that's why that shifter broke. You were shifting it too hard, Chris.
Throwing me under the bus. I've been thrown under the bus twice in 2 days. This sucks.
No, absolutely. It was cool seeing, you know, it's always cool being in the Bomber hangar there, but to see your Bomber in there and disassembled, I got to see every nook and cranny. And I mean, those cars are just so freaking cool, man.
They're so well engineered.
I can't. Yeah, it's a bad bitch. I love that car. Yeah.
So the to recap, the car ran beautifully. You did have a couple of hiccups. You had an axle seal, a shifter lever, and what was the other item? There was one other thing.
The window net.
Small, so that's
small
it.
Small quarter 20 window net bolt. Yeah.
And so the whole 200-mile race, and that's all the only three issues you had, which are minor.
I think it was like 240, wasn't it? I tell you though, they're saying it was the hardest King of the Hammers, the most grueling King of the Hammers, and in the 5 years that I've been racing King of the Hammers, I would agree with that. It was a rough course, and I think it probably just started off with that first desert lap, and it was a rough course this year.
All right.
And did you get any of that 250 weight on your visor? I was looking at the car. You did have some oil on the hood and stuff. You had to have some coming at you since it was driver's front there.
There was some. It wasn't as bad. In the past, I had a, I think it was 2 years ago, I had a power steering pump that blew the seal, and it's just misting on us all day. And that was really annoying because you'd have to wipe your lens every 30 seconds and go through rags. Crazy. And it wasn't to that extent, but there's some on there, and the last couple nights of a lot of mineral spirits and soaking that thing down. So
I was gonna say 250 weight, that stuff's like epoxy coming at you.
Is our sticker really cleaned off or what?
Say that again, Chris.
Is our sticker cleaned off?
Oh yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, when we were on the stage, that was an awkward interview, by the way, but
with Pam Hall.
For some reason, it was just awkward. I don't know. I guess maybe it was the four or five beers while I was waiting to go up there that I was downing. But no, the sticker was totally covered in gear oil. But Chris did throw a koozie on the car.
Yeah, I had the koozie up there. So. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That worked out good.
No, the car was caked in gear oil. I think we went through 3 pounds of gear oil that day.
Oh my gosh.
Right on.
So, you finished physically in the top 10, but then, timing, time adjustments, I guess, is what got you a little bit. But, it was only a few minutes or something between a few of those last spots, the 8th, 9th, 10th position. I wanted to look it up and see what they were, but it was pretty tight. I think
I haven't looked, the competitive, I think I already touched on it. The competitive nature of me is already thinking about where I could pick up, those minutes. But yeah, to be one spot out of the bunny, it's kind of a bummer, but at the same point, you gotta be pleased with where we've come from and where we're at. And, to know that, the goals for next year are obviously to have two cars in the top 10. And I think that there's one of those cars that can really surprise some people and potentially even podium this thing. I think he's a real special talent, Justin. How cool would it be to have, three or four bombers in that top 10?
They dominate, man. They need to take it over.
I think we've showed that it's definitely a possibility. And, our goals are going to be, our goals within our camp are going to be that. You know what Randy's goal is going to be. And, Chase Caprera is no joke. That guy is fast.
Oh, my gosh. I was watching some video of him, too. Yeah, that it's cool to hear that, your progression over the years. I mean, only your fifth KOH and you're right there. You're knocking on the door. Eric, so that's you can't be upset about that at all, and it's that whole team, like you say, the Wix Family Racing team right there, and what you guys can learn from each other, and with similar cars
pushing each other,
and then pushing each other with the good old family camaraderie. It's super fun to follow and talk with you guys and listen to some of these stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I promise you that we're having more fun. So,
and that's a great attitude, and that's, you know, that's what it is, right? It's a, you know, it's a form of entertainment. You know, you're not, I'm putting words in your mouth. You're not doing it to get rich. You're doing it because it's fun. And so, I know it's fun to watch you guys and see this,
they wanna win.
This thing unfold. Yeah, and you know, interviewing you, Justin and Chris. The day before, I mean, hours before the green flag drops, you know, and talking, you guys are real, and you're like, hey, yeah, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of nervous right now, and I, you know, getting into the zone, and yeah.
The day before, I mean, qualifying day is probably the hardest day on me, that whole week. I mean, I'm a mess at qualifying, and people are talking to me, and my mind is elsewhere. I'm thinking of every turn, and I'm thinking of, you know, how I can get, you know, pick up spaces and, you know, also save the car and not be too rough and out of control and make sure I don't roll and do something stupid. So,
right.
You know, qualifying for me is one of the hardest days that I have to go through out there. And when they put me in the 2 o'clock hour, I was like, man, it would be nice to be in, you know, 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock, whenever number one hour. But, I turn into an emotional mess on the day before the day of qualifying and the day before the race. I mean, I'm fighting back tears. I don't want to say I'm not fun to be around. I try to be a level-headed guy, but inside I've definitely got some things going on that I can't fight. It takes me back to the days of getting ready for football games in college.
Sure.
And there you go.
Gives you that feeling again that, you know, you're in for a day of what could be the hardest day of your life and the most challenging thing that, you know, physically you put your body through. And, you know, to not get worked up about it and to be relaxed, you know, I think it's just part of that process of being ready for it. And,
100%.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we touched on that, the mental aspect of it. And that's, you know, each year you learn more and more and how to better deal with all that, too. So,
yep.
And it's so cool. I just love it. Glad that we got to know you and your family better and see you guys out on the lake bed, and then to be there when you cross the finish line. I was just like, I was proud, man. It was super cool. So
it was cool to see your face, Jason. It was cool. I could tell in your face you had a little bit of you know, you had some
emotion,
surprised emotions.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I was equally surprised. And like I said, I was happy to come across at that point and to achieve the goals of, you know, a top 15 with a daylight finish. That was awesome. And but again, competitive nature in me is moving on and ready to start working towards, you know, 2023 and seeing where we can take this thing. So
go ahead. Well, I was going to say, what other races are you planning on this year?
I'm qualified for King of the Hammers now, if that means anything. I don't know if Dave's ever not accepted LCQ over the last couple of years, but I might take it easy this year.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm thinking probably doing some of Goodby's series, the NorCal Rock Racing.
Yeah.
I think that there's definite opportunity to pick up some experience and seat time there. And he always puts on a good event, and they're a lot of fun. So I'm thinking of maybe doing a few of those. I might do, you know, we've dabbled in the Vora series with Northern Nevada, and that gives you the desert seat time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they have a couple 300-mile races that could be fun. I know Justin's probably going to do some of those as well. But I think, you know, keeping it on a smaller scale and you know, the traveling for Ultra 4, and sometimes, you know, you go down to Mexico, you even out to I haven't even really looked at the schedule this year, but, you know, even when you go out to, you know, South Dakota, I mean, mm-hmm. it's a lot of time away from family. Sure. and work, and you know, you're taking a week off, and it does get expensive. So starting to look at, you know, just some of the local series and, you know, lighter entry fees and just having more fun with it. And, you know, beyond that, you know, the car's in really good shape right now. I'm kind of surprised at how this thing held up. And I really, really, really want to do a lot of, just testing and getting seat time. And, you know, Nevada desert, you know, on my own, my wife's never ridden in the car, which, you know, I've owned it for 4 years now and I feel like a horrible person.
Does she want to?
Oh, she does.
Oh, okay, yeah, good.
She really does. But I do want to get her out in the car and just get some more seat time.
Okay.
Like I said, not driving it since May of San Felipe. You know, you start thinking about doing those little types of things and you know, how much seat time Randy's getting, you know, every day. And, you know, you gotta take a page out of those books. Sure. and really start to, you know, think that that's where I'm going to pick up the 5 to 10 miles an hour in the desert next year. And, you know, a couple shock tuning sessions with King would not hurt. I know that car, it does good in the desert, but I know it can do so much better. And I just haven't put the time into it in that regard. And I think knocking out those little things or big things, but I think that's going to push us forward even more. So
that makes sense. Yeah. More seat time and just getting more comfortable with it. And you hit that 115 mark and you know, you can go 120, 125.
Just not that's on, it. Just not on that's Ford it. Ice.
And then all of a sudden you start wanting to do that in the whoops. And, yeah. You know, yeah.
Did you hear Chris? He said, just not on Ford ice.
Just not on Ford ice. Yeah, we'll be up there too. I mean, that's part of seat time is making sure you know, getting out in the crawlers and going out and having fun. And so, you should definitely this up when you're up there next time.
Absolutely. I hope we can hook up again and do that trail at least once this year again, if not a few times. That's one of my favorite trails, and it was a blast that day we went out with you guys. So
much fun. Just yeah, need to for find sure. less higher area for me to exit the vehicle.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Well, you want to anything else, Eric? You want to give some shout outs and
I kind of butchered the finish line speech.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, it was kind of awkward, and you know, there's so many people that help. I already mentioned the Camco staff here. I already mentioned, you know, what it takes for them to hold it down while I'm here and how much appreciative I am of them. You know, my mom is one of our biggest fans, and you know, she was calling me the day I got home, just ragging about the coverage and how they talk about is so and so and such and such, they need to talk about you and Justin. So she's always holding it down at the house, watching every minute of the live stream. And, you know, I'm out there running the race thinking, you know, I got to make mom proud. So, you know, she's our biggest fan, and you always got to thank her for everything. You know, my mother-in-law who watched my dog and got my kid to basketball while I was down there for 2 weeks. I mean, she's awesome. But, you know, also not to mention, you know, all the volunteers that came out and helped us. Right. These guys mean so much to me and my brother and Justin, you know, and I'll just rattle off their names real quick. Greg Johnson, you know, he offers some support with High Desert Surface Prep, and he comes down every year and helps us. And he's, you know, helping us, you know, recover broken razors in the desert on pre-running and covering Justin and Chris in the desert. And I mean, I can't express how awesome it has been to make these memories with Greg over the last couple years. I mean, he was in the desert with us when we decided to go after this crazy dream. And he's been there every year for us. And right, and it's really awesome to have him in. And then he brought down his son-in-law, Lance, who's getting into the crawler scene and is a mechanic and offers a lot of expertise and knowledge. I mean, he's been awesome to have. Justin Koo, Ozzy, you guys met Ozzy.
Yeah.
He's turned into, you know, a huge asset for our team. I mean, the guy can do it all. He can run crew chief in the pits. He can make sure everybody knows what they're doing when we're pulling in. He's always positive and brings a great attitude to our team. And, you know, he's turned into one of our really good friends. You know, Cade and Cole are out there every year, and, I don't know their last names, but, I'm sorry, not Cade, Jake and Cole. But they're awesome to have as well. They've been out there the last 2 years with us. And, you know, Kevin Simpson, my co-driver,
I mean,
we're finally having fun again in this rig. And I think he has a lot to do with that. And you know, he and I are really good friends. And I think that it's something special. And you know, I think we're only going to get better working together. And that's been a lot of fun there to see that relationship develop as well.
So I gotta interject real quick. I you know, met Kevin in the pits there that Friday before the main race, you know, and I didn't put two and two together until afterwards. I was following him on Instagram. You know, he's at the number one ton tractor. Mm-hmm. He's a lineman up there in Truckee, I think, right?
Oh man, when we were out of power, you know, I was like, I felt so bad for that guy. I mean, the hours that he was working, this town got smashed with that snowstorm. Yeah. Nobody worked harder than Kevin during that storm. And, you know, we actually had no power for 5 days and I wouldn't call him and he got mad at me, you know, but, and as soon as I told him he had our power on within a day, but you know, I don't mind that stuff. I think it's fun. Keeps the kids off the devices and gets them into puzzles and playing board games again.
You know? There you go. But yeah, he's part of the NorCal, recovery crew.
4x4 rescue.
Yeah. 4x4 rescue and on the admin team as with Tyler from Snail Trail 4x4. So it's just funny how small the world is when I was like, oh, that's Kevin Simpson. So.
Yep.
Yeah. No, Kevin's got a scout on 49s at the moment that he takes out and does snow rescues. And I've gone snow wheeling with him in that thing. And man, what a blast.
That's cool.
49. Yeah, cool.
Kevin's a good dude.
I don't know how he stuffs all that hair in the helmet.
What's that?
I said, I don't know how he stuffs all that hair in the helmet.
Yeah, halfway through the race you see him holding his head with his helmet and I'm like, Kevin, are you all right, man? I hope you're having fun because I am.
No, that's cool. It's a small world, but anyways, I had to interject that because it was one of those 7 degrees of separation or whatever there.
8 degrees.
Oh, eight. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. You know what I meant.
Eric, do you have anybody else? I know we kind of interrupted your thing there.
Yeah, no, I hit on Kevin and Dayton Broad this year came out and helped us and the Reagans from up here in Tahoe, they came down to help us, which was huge because we've been friends with them for a long time and they brought their son Thomas, who is just a huge fan of the King of the Hammers and all rock crawling, and to see him, who's he's 14 years old, and to see how big his eyes were and how much fun he had and how much help he was and. You know, I don't think that they're going to be able to get to another go through another King of the Hammers without him being there. So
all right, he's hooked. Yeah,
really,
sure.
Really good to have all these volunteers and just really want to let them know how much I appreciate it and Chris and Justin appreciate it and how much it means to us. So we couldn't do it without them. And also the Rufus Racing crew who let us pit with them all year this year and every year in the past. I mean, those guys always treat us so well. And this year, you know, it was kind of bittersweet. And I gave Zandy a lot of shit because they go out and they break their shit all day and they end up working on it all night. And we just sit in the campfire and burn their wood.
Nice. You know? So,
yeah, nice. And drink their beer.
Hey, perfect.
But no, we've got a great relationship with them too. So I always got to throw a shout out to them.
Right on. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Obviously I already mentioned Randy. Randy's been some awesome asset and, you know, a huge person to lean on and, you know, everything that he does for us is so appreciated, at Bomber Fabrication, as with Adam and Amber. You know, they're just really, really good people over there. Oh, yeah. And, I can't talk highly enough about them.
For sure. For sure. It's, I mean, some of the best in the business right there.
Well, I mean, so, yeah.
And they, you know, you talk about all your friends and family and stuff volunteering. And I mean, yeah, I mean, they have as much fun as you do. And it's a passion thing. And, you know, they're taking time off work, time away from their families, maybe whatever it is to, you know, all for the love of racing at KOH. And it's just cool. You hear these stories over and over, and it's just, that's why I love this sport, man. It's just, it's people just do it because they love it.
Absolutely. You know?
That passion is there. The fire. Yeah.
I wish there's more we can do for them. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just, they deserve a lot more. We feed them and try to take care of them the best we can. But man, I can't say it enough how much it is appreciated.
That's super cool.
Right on.
So, well, I mean, man, it's just, I don't know. It's just, this is great. This is good stuff, Chris.
It's awesome stuff. Eric, awesome, awesome finish in King of the Hammers 2022.
Yeah, congrats.
Thanks for circling back with us and giving time. Go ahead.
I also want to just let you know how much I appreciate you guys and all the support you offer and having us on your show. It is humbling to know that you guys want to have us on your show and you think that people will listen to what we have to say. So, I appreciate that, and it means a lot to us, and we appreciate the two of you as friends as well. So,
very cool.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Right. Thank you.
This was like our first year. Chris and I were talking that we kind of felt like we actually had something going. You know, I mean, we just started this. You know, talking into the mics and putting out this podcast, and it's like, all right, let's see where it goes. But our logo's getting recognized. Our voices were getting recognized there, and crazy. It was like, you know, we're going into some of these pits, and it's like, oh, you know, Chris, Jason, and you know, it's like, okay, cool. This is fun. I mean, again, we're not making any money off this deal, but we're having fun with it. It's just a different aspect of what you're doing as a driver, but you know, we're all part of that KOH family, and it's all good, man.
We're making our small little contribution in our own little way.
Chelsea did come up to me when you guys came over to our pits, and she goes, is that the podcast guys? I recognize their voice.
It's fun. And we love it. And, it's just, you know, it's just a cool thing to be part of. And, we appreciate your support. All the Wicks family there and opening up, your pit to us and feelings mutual, man. This is all good stuff. We love to be part documenting it too, you know. Yep. That's
this is gonna go on forever and ever.
Yeah, it lives in it's evergreen. It lives infamously. Yeah.
In infamy?
Infamy. Infamy, yes, infamy. I'm still
Eric,
tired.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your evening. I know you're still at work and grinding through, so we'll let you get back to it.
Guys, I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. We'll circle back. I'll hit you up when we're passing through the area, and you know, we'll talk more racing stuff or whatever.
And we'll see you by the campfire.
Yeah,
sounds good to me, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Eric. Thank you. Take care, man.
You too.
And there you go, Chris. How about that, huh?
What a great story.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, just thinking about how it all started, meeting the Wicks at Meadow Lake last summer, developing a relationship with them, going, then being invited into their pit. We literally, when we sat down in their pit at the first half of this interview, we were sitting on spare tires.
Yeah, beat up spare tires. Those things were eaten up, man. I don't know.
Yeah, but that. I mean, that's the whole experience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting in their pit in between two of their race cars on spare tires. The smell, the sound, you heard the sound of race cars driving by. I mean, as they're going to and from wherever they're from, tech or contingency or whatever they're doing.
Right in the mix.
I mean, it was badass. And then we come back, and obviously the race occurred, and Eric had a very good day. And we circled back with him, and it was a wonderful discussion.
Yeah, it is cool, and to get that pre and post, you know, was a neat aspect there. And man, I just, you know, as much as I love the racing scene, I love being on this side of it and just documenting the story. They go through so much, you know, the anxiety and everything of getting ready and then start line. But I know they have a hell of a lot of fun out there, as you heard, you know, Eric talk about. Oh, yeah. And but getting beat up. And it was cool, his story about, you know, hitting up, living in Truckee there and
Jason
hitting
Berger.
Berger's Dreamtown CrossFit place, you know, where he just works you over the coals. But it gets you ready for, you know, this type of stuff and whatever your sport is. But, you take a beating out there.
Oh, yeah. No, and I didn't say it, but I when I saw Eric at the beginning of Hammer Week, I was like, man, he's really slimmed down quite a bit.
And yeah.
I didn't say anything because I didn't want to sound like that guy, but, you know.
What's that guy? Hey.
But Eric, you look great.
You look good in a non-homosexual sort of way. Is that what you were going to say? Anyway. No, but it is. It's cool. And, you know, you feel good about yourself, and you get you got some more endurance there. You got you know, it's crazy. Crazy what everything man and machine gets tested out in that desert.
Well, let's just put it this way. I was in a car crash. It took about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was fucked up.
Yeah.
Could you imagine doing that for 8 hours?
No. No. Negative Ghost Rider. I mean, heck, I was going to say just the miles that we walked in and out of Hammertown and around Hammertown and
oh my God.
And breathing dust for, you know, 10 days. You know, they're doing all that plus racing. So
right. Well, yeah.
Hats off to them. And the Wicks family is great. And they've welcomed us into their race team there with open arms. And I'm glad we're able to help document and shed a little, you know, light on their story. And there's several stories on the race bed, the lake bed of racers, but
more than several, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep an eye on them because I think great things are going to be occurring in the future for sure, especially from Justin.
And then, you know, the whole tie-in with Bomber Fab, you know, they got the Bomber cars, they got, you know, Bomber, you know, Eric's got the Bomber car you rode in, the trail buggy.
Factory support.
But Chris is building a Bomber trail buggy, so, you know, I'd love a trail buggy one day.
Can we get a group discount?
I think we can. I think now, if we do a couple more Bomber podcasts, I think Randy will throw us a little something there.
Maybe
we'll see.
A remote control
if you're listening,
car
Randy. Yeah, we'll get the axial car.
Yeah, I never heard of. I wonder who won that car that was drawing. Was at the we talked to Randy.
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't get a call, did you?
I didn't get no phone calls.
I guess it wasn't.
I need to check my spam. I guess. I did get a few calls to renew my auto insurance.
I got one of those literally today. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to hang up on that one. But anyway, great stuff. This episode's a long one, so we're gonna chop the kind of cut it off here. But still look forward. We still have to circle back, Jason and I, and give a full recap on KOH 2022.
Oh yeah, that's coming up
from our through our eyes and our experience.
I've got a bunch of notes.
I'm sure. Yeah, I noticed that. I have a bunch of notes too, and we have a lot to talk about. And in the meantime, we do want to give one quick shout out. While we were on the lake bed, we got a new patron.
Yes,
Larry Seglin is our newest patron. We want to welcome Larry aboard.
And you know who Larry is.
Larry is the father of
Kyle.
Boston Kyle.
Boston Kyle.
The driver of EVE, the electric Toyota 4Runner.
So Ultra 3 Night got to meet, right? We were all there
and got
to meet three generations of the Seglin family.
Right.
So met Larry's dad. Uh-huh. I can't remember his name,
I don't remember.
I'm just so bad with names. But then met Larry that we had met last year for the first time.
Right.
And then, of course, Kyle. So it was super cool. We got a picture with them, three generations. It's just cool. Again, another family that's supportive of the whole race program there.
Oh, yeah. All in. I mean, all in. And as we've said, the theme over and over and over again is, you know, you need family support. If you don't have family support, you're not
going to
succeed. It's just not. And I mean, we see it with you know, Slauson. You see it with the Campbells. I mean,
everywhere.
It's a family affair. It, the same story is repeated over and over again. It's awesome.
So thank you, Larry, for having faith in the podcast there, and we appreciate your support. And how do you become a patron, Chris, if you wanted to?
Well, you go to www.patreon.com/wheelingwineandwhiskey. Or you can go to our website, wheelingwineandwhiskey.com, and up on the banner near the top, you'll see a link to go to, it says Patreon. You can click on that, and it'll take you to the Patreon page where you can sign up.
Yeah.
We have three tiers, $5, $10, $20.
That's right.
You know, it's not required.
Nope.
But we'd certainly appreciate your support.
Definitely appreciate it, and we love all our patrons. I think we're up to 52 now?
51.
51, so that's great. Okay, well, 52. Maybe I'll have to find another one tonight. Let's see if I can start knocking on my neighbor's doors. But no, it's awesome. Thank you for supporting us. And even those that you that aren't financially supporting, we appreciate all the love and DMs we've been getting on the Instagrams and meeting a lot of people out there at KOH, and super, super cool. And they're like, oh, you guys are Wheel & Wine & Whiskey. I've listened to you. And, you know, they recognize the logo and stuff. So that's super cool. It makes all this worth it. And we love it, and we'll continue doing it if we have the support. And Chris and I don't get tired of listening to each other. Lorenzo.
So we've been doing that. We've been talking to each other for over 30 years. I think it's going to keep continuing.
Okay, we'll see.
What the fuck? Yeah.
All right, Lorenzo.
Anything?
You got anything? You didn't. I didn't see you on the lake bed. Oh yeah, there's a whole story to that. We'll get to that later. All right, Chris. That's all I got.
All right. I guess we're out.